Om Aginatim Inandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Upakadamayam Dadati Sapundantikam Vansakalpatubhyascha Kripasindubhayibhacha Patitanam Prabhunebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Yesterday, we ended hearing a very unique pastime, how Mother Yashoda had called Krishna back from where? Playing. He was playing by the Yamuna with Balaram and the other boys, and she had to do so many clever tricks to get Krishna to return. This is Vrindavan. It is such a unique place because the relationship of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His devotees is so intimate that it is inconceivable how these devotees, due to their relationship, the intimacy of the loving, spontaneous relationship with Krishna, it allows them to act in ways that in one sense are unbefitting, not proper to act towards one's superior. What to speak of the supreme superior, the Parameshwara, the Paramatma, the Bhagavan, the unlimited supreme personality of Godhead. But because of the intimacy of their love, they do act in that way. Mother Yashoda will trick Krishna. She'll say, today is your birthday and you must come back. You have to bathe and come back. And do what? What was Krishna especially attached to doing? Giving charity to the brahmanas. So that allowed Mother Yashoda to hold on to Krishna and Balaram and bring them home. And indeed, she did perform a ceremony and a jagya for the welfare of her son Krishna. Because that was the only consideration in her existence, her whole life. What's that wonderful sound? That's so nice. Her whole existence was centered on Krishna and pleasing Krishna. It is said by Srila Rupa Goswami in his compilation, Padyavali, that Mother Yashoda was ready to die 1,000 deaths to save Krishna from one drop of perspiration, one drop of difficulty. We cannot conceive of love like this. Tari bali kam, as opposed to dhari premanam. In this world, everything is self-oriented. Not a capital S, but a small S. It's selfish. Everything that's done in this world has selfishness attached to it. Is it going to be good for me? Is it going to be bad for me? Icha dvesha samutena dvandvamo. And this is what keeps us in the material world. But in the spiritual world, the principle is everything for Krishna. And everything for those who are giving Krishna's pleasure and the things, tadiyanam samacharam. This is even given more importance in one sense. The things that give pleasure to Krishna are given more importance than Krishna. And therefore, Mother Yashoda, she left Krishna to stop the milk pot of Krishna's milk. It was Krishna's milk. Not the milk pot, but it was Krishna's milk. Krishna's milk pot. Krishna's cows. Krishna's land. Everything was for Krishna. And because everything is for Krishna and the devotees are so selfless in their giving themselves to that principle of everything for Krishna, that is, this is what nourishes the rasa. And this is what removes envy from all the dealings, because everything is for Krishna. When the four Kumaras go to the Vaikuntha planets, they note, or Srila Sukadeva Goswami notes, that of all the different plants in Vaikuntha, and there are so many wonderful fragrant plants, it is Tulsi that gives the pleasure to Krishna, the most pleasure to Krishna. And all the other plants, everyone acknowledges this, and yet there is no envy, because everyone's interest is simply to give pleasure to Krishna. And this mood of not enmity, but pushing forward what's going to give pleasure to Krishna, this is specifically what pleases Krishna. And this, because it pleases Krishna, rasa pushte, it nourishes the development of rasa, or spiritual advancement, one could say, at our stage, in a devotee. In the material world, everyone wants to. The nature of false ego is it wants to step forward and say, me, here I am. Notice who is here. It is me. Because no one notices us. Why? Because everyone is thinking only about themselves, basically. There's this imaginary universe going on in which I'm the center. And the false ego wants to push me out in front. Just everyone notice me. And that nourishes not rasa with Krishna, relationship with Krishna, but it nourishes more and more entanglement in the material world, because it's not possible that we can be the center of existence. We cannot do it. We don't have the power. Insignificant. So, Vrindavan, there are different rules that apply. And the rule is that Krishna is in the center. There are so many things that occur, and it appears that there's even disagreements in left wing and right wing, and this is happening, and that is happening, and there's always some difficulties present itself, and this problem. But everything is for Krishna's pleasure there. So Mother Yashoda used her clever words today. Oh, Lala, Tata, she called him. Oh, dearest one. Today is your birthday, so you have to dress yourself nicely. And then when you're dressed nicely, you can give charity to the Brahmins. And then she brought them home and she performed the ceremony. But actually, Mother Yashoda, in doing that, her concern was for Krishna's welfare. Krishna was by the river Yamuna, and he's such a restless boy that at any time he can fall into the waters, and who knows what will happen. There might even one day be a huge serpent in the water and capture him. Or who knows what will happen. Just a few days before, two giant trees fell down, and they fell down around him, and just by the grace of Lord Narayan, Mother Yashoda is thinking, he was saved, the boy was saved. But anything can happen. We also notice this in Vrindavan. Anything can happen. The electricity could be on, the electricity could be off, monkeys could come, suddenly some panda could come and decide to take over the whole, like we saw that in Barsana. Suddenly some Brijbasi lady just comes walking in, walks over to the microphone in the middle of the kirtan and starts singing and everything, and all her friends come. And later on she passes around the equivalent, a cloth, and does some what we used to call Sankirtan tactics. But anything can happen at any time. But everything nourishes the rasa in Vrindavan. It nourishes one's relationship with Krishna. So this event of Rohini not being able to bring back the boys from the river because they were playing and anything could happen and the river was a very deep part of the river. That was told to Upananda by his wife. And after hearing that pastime, we're going to need this working. After hearing that pastime of Krishna's, it was decided between Upananda and his wife that in the next day when there was a meeting, they would hold a meeting of all the cowherd men in the Goshala, and they would try to do something about this problem that there's always difficulties occurring in Vrindavan and Krishna always seems to be threatened by the difficulties. So, let's see if we can do it without technology. Anything can happen. Oh, anything has happened. It worked. Must be the grace of Krishna. Let's see if this part works here. This goes this way and that goes that way. Oh yes, class 3. This class will eventually be moving towards Vrindavan because at this point, where are the pastimes taking place? In Gokul. What's another name for Gokul? Mahavan. And what's another name for Gokul Mahavan? I might have heard it. Brihadvan. Did someone say it? Brihadvan, yes. So up to this point, the pastimes are taking place in Gokul, in Mahavan, in Brihadvan. But Upananda is inspired by Krishna from within the heart. And he is going to have a different plan, a different suggestion for the cowherd men. Upananda said, this is an assembly of cowherd men. My dear friends, the cowherd men, very, very, very polite way of speaking. In order to do good to this place, Gokul, we should leave it. Krishna has inspired him directly within his heart because Krishna wants his Gokul pastimes to end and he wants his Vrindavan pastimes to begin. We should leave this place because so many disturbances are always occurring here. And what are the purpose of these disturbances? Who is at the center of them? It is Krishna. And Krishna's life is continuously being threatened. The child Krishna, just for the purpose of killing Rama and Krishna, the child Krishna, simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was somehow or another rescued from the hands of that Rakshasi, Putana. Putana came in disguise of the most beautiful woman, suggesting that she should feed him her breast milk. And then what happened? Krishna took that and began to suck out her breast. And suddenly we hear this Putana crying out loudly, child, leave me, leave me. And her form changes. And suddenly, she's not a beautiful lady. She's a huge Rakshasi that falls to the ground and crushes all the trees that happen to be the orchard of Kamsa. She tried to kill him. Mother Yashoda fell to the ground, so much anxiety, fainted. And the only thing that brought her back was when the ladies picked up Krishna from the huge breast of Putana and placed her on the lap, Krishna on the lap of Yashoda, as we mentioned. And then again, But it didn't stop there with Putana. Then again, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that handcart, Sakata, mist falling upon the child when Krishna at his right before the name-giving ceremony, so he was so young, he gentle, tender Krishna, how much strength does a child have in his legs? He can't even crawl yet. He's just the ceremony that where Shakatasura was killed. It was the ceremony celebrating when the child turns over for the first time. He has the ability to turn from his back to the other side, the stomach. And the ceremony, the sanskara, is celebrated because his strength is gaining. But how much strength does this little baby have? That is his tender feet kicking up, and suddenly the cart full of heavy brass utensils that he was beneath to protect him from the hot sun goes flying in all directions. And only by the grace of God he was saved. Actually, that Shakatasura, he thought that Putana made the mistake of accepting a form, and I shall be formless. And he entered into the cart, and Krishna, and immediately when he entered the cart sank into the ground due to his weight, and therefore Krishna, just the delicate feet. So everyone, all the coward men, they were listening. Yes, this is true. Krishna's escaped so many dangerous situations. And then again, the demon, Tinavarta, in the form of a whirlwind, took the child away into the dangerous sky to kill him. We spoke about this for a few moments yesterday. And Krishna had, or 2 days ago, and Krishna did so many wonderful things in that, just like you see, because he was very, very little at that time. And you take any little child and you throw them into the air like this. Of course, you catch them, but you throw them into the air. What does the child invariably do? They laugh like anything. They love it. So Krishna wanted to go higher into the air. And also, he wanted to allow the damsels, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, of the heavenly planets to see him. And in that way also, by the swirling of the whirlwind, Krishna's fragrance, which is so captivating, went upward. And everyone had a chance in the upper planets to be able to experience the fragrance of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is captivating like anything. If we read the final chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu on experiences with his pure heart, the fragrance of Krishna, and he's overwhelmed completely. So Krishna wanted to give that opportunity to the residents of the upper the heavenly planets. But the demon, not Krishna, died, but the demon fell down dead on a slab of stone. In that case also, by the mercy of Lord Vishnu or his associates, the child was saved. That's the 25th verse. And even, this is the 26th verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is speaking the words of Upananda. Upananda, interestingly enough, is the eldest brother of Nanda Maharaj. And naturally, he should have been the king of Vrindavan. But because he recognized the qualities of Nanda Maharaj as being so wonderful, and he was loved by all the residents of Vrindavan, so he decided to abnegate the kingdom in one sense and allow Nanda Maharaj to be the king. And everyone loved Nanda Maharaj so much. So Upananda means very near to Nanda. He was Nanda's advisor, chief advisor, and like the prime minister. And Upananda means also Upa Ananda. That anyone who is near Upananda, Upa, became filled with Ananda. So he was taken extremely seriously. So his words were very powerful. And even the other day, neither Krishna or any of his playmates died from the falling of the two trees, because the trees were huge and they fell just around Krishna. Or even between them, they were near the trees and in between the Jamalarjuna trees. And the fact that none of them was hurt, tarapyachutarakshanam, because they were protected by the mercy of Krishna. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta. Well, Achyuta means he's infallible in protecting his devotees or those who give everything to him. So who were they thinking had given everything to Lord Narayan or the Supreme Lord Achyuta to evoke the Lord's protection? Do you understand my question? Who... They were saying, this is the mercy of the Lord that he was protected. Achyuta protects his devotees, infallible in that. He never fails. So who is the devotee here? Is it Krishna who he's thinking is the devotee and therefore he was protected? No. It was Nanda Maharaj who worshipped Lord Narayan. And when anything happened wonderful to protect Krishna, all the Brijbasi said, oh, this is because of Lord Narayan's mercy, because Nanda Maharaj is such a wonderful devotee of Lord Narayan. And therefore his son Narayan O Samo Gunai, he has been benedicted, empowered with the qualities of Lord Narayan. And certain times they think that when Krishna does something wonderful, they'll never think that he is God until later they begin to wonder if he's actually the Supreme Lord. But they always think, oh, somehow the Lord's potency, Shakta Vesh. Avesha means entering into his Shakti. Lord Narayan's Shakti enters into him. So it's only by his grace that this baby, this all-attractive, beautiful baby is saved. So all these incidents are being caused by some unknown demon. We don't know who it is. But the way that these pious, purely pious souls thought is that when something bad happens, what is the cause? It is my impiety. I've done something wrong in this life or in previous lives, so therefore something terrible is happening to me. It's because of me, what I've done. But Nanda Maharaj, he is the most pure and pious of souls. He has never done anything wrong, never done anything incorrect. No impiety blemishes his existence. So it cannot be due to some bad reactions, some pop on his part, some sinful reactions that these terrible things are occurring. There must be some demon here, some asura who is causing these trouble, even though we cannot see them. So it is here that's the problem. Because this demon, this asura, is living here. So therefore, my conclusion, Upananda says, is that we should leave this place. We should leave Gokul. We should leave Mahavan, Brihadvan. And we should go somewhere else until there are no more disturbances. The conclusion he's pointing to, it's the fault of the place. And where should we go? Well, you can guess. We should go to Vrindavan. Please, I'll repeat after me line by line. Vanam Vrindavanam Nama Pashyavam Navakananam. we should go to another forest, and that forest is named Vrindavan. Pashyavam means that this place is so suitable. It is so suitable because of its Navakananam, because of its gardens, its fresh new forests and gardens. And therefore, Gopa, Gopi, Gavam, the Gopas, the cowherd men, and the Gopis, the cowherd ladies, and the Gavam, the cows, Sevayam, they will be well taken care of there. And therefore, they will be very happy because of the suitableness of this place. And also in this place is Punya Adri. That means the most pious of mountains that is known as Giriraj Govardhan. Trina, see the bands start playing when the glories of Vrindavan are spoken. And there's grass and creepers and flowers there, so everyone will be so happy there. Between Nandeshwar and Mahavan is a place named Vrindavan. This place is very suitable because it is lush with grass, plants, and creepers for the cows and other animals. It has nice gardens and tall mountains and is full of facilities for the happiness of the gopas and the gopis and our govam and our animals. Therefore, let us immediately, today, we should go today to Vrindavan. There is no need to wait any further. Srila Prabhupada once told me, if something is auspicious, you should do it immediately. And if something is inauspicious, you should delay it. You should put it off. So let's do it immediately. Today, on the very day of the meeting, let us do it. Let us go to Vrindavan. If you agree to my proposal, therefore he's speaking, he's not dictating, he's speaking to the cowherd men there. If you agree to my proposal, let us prepare all the bullock carts and put the cows in front of us and let us go there. Let us go to Vrindavan. Now I would like to, at this point, Sri Radharaman, require your help. I would like to read something about Vrindavan. This is from the very opening chapter of Gopal Sri Gopal Champu by, who is the author of Gopal Champu? Srila Jiva Goswami. He describes the glories of Vrindavan, and I'll just read a short section from his description, or a few short sections. And perhaps, Krishna willing, we shall read some more later, a little bit. But why? Vrindavan is the setting, the background, the only background that's suitable. Maybe we can put up the harmonium volume. Yes, thank you. Vrindavan is the only suitable background for Krishna's pastimes, in his childhood pastimes. It is perfect. It is perfect for the residents of Vrindavan, the cows of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all. It's just perfect. This is exactly what Krishna loves. This is his place, preferred place of residence. This is where Krishna can fully relax, so to speak, and just be himself. His heart, the deepest feelings in his heart. Yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a heart. He has a very soft heart. And in his heart is the land of Vrindavan. So, here is what Srila Jiva Goswami says, or one of the things that he says. And this is, again, this is the setting for Krishna's pastimes, because every activity needs the proper setting for it to be in the proper mood. And therefore, when Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra, it is the most frustrating thing for the residents of Vrindavan, because there is Krishna, the same person is there, but the setting, the atmosphere is completely different from an atmosphere that is conducive for the kind of loving exchanges, the kind of casual and deep loving exchanges that they are used to. So, but Krishna is right there, the person is there, but the setting is completely wrong. So therefore, they have one request. Srimati Radharani has that one request. Please, please come back to Vrindavan. You are the same person. Everything is the same. I am the same person. But without Vrindavan, the relationship cannot blossom in its fragrant way. And that's the Rath Yatra festival, seen through the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the glorious attempt to bring Krishna to Vrindavan. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, there exists the auspicious place called Vrindavan. It is full of prosperity. It is the glorious, the most glorious forest of the earth deity. This forest is for the protection of all people. Please listen carefully to these words. The slightest touch of Vrindavan surpasses the wind in its quickness and power to purify. Did you hear that? It always bestows liberation. Through a trace of Vrindavan, though a trace of Vrindavan produces liberation, Vrindavan itself is indifferent to liberation, because, please listen carefully, because of Vrindavan's eagerness to bind a person to the qualities of Vrindavan. Although Vrindavan gives bhakti to the devotees, it never destroys bhakti. Lord Brahma had a desire to be born in Vrindavan. Thinking himself deprived of good fortune, he then decided to perform worship. And then, as he worshipped, he began to realize the greatness of Vrindavan, which was worthy of worship. And that worship, even though he was the topmost of all persons in the universe, it was beneficial for him. Though poets cannot write poetically about Vrindavan, it still becomes possible for them to write poetic descriptions. In Vrindavan, the essence of supreme generosity exists. What does generosity exist? What does that mean? What does generosity mean? What does it mean in Hindi? Odarya. What does that mean in English? Generosity, magnanimity, giving. And what is it giving? It's giving the most wonderful thing. There is eternal perfection in the festival of bliss for the son of Nanda, who gives bliss to all people and appears in this world repeatedly to benefit the world. Govardhan is the shelter of all beings in Goloka Vrindavan. The particular qualities of Govardhan are as follows. there's a very short description of Govardhan here, his qualities. Then Srila Jiva Goswami describes the excellence of the Yamuna River in brief. He describes it, which is also in Vrindavan. And then he describes one other special entity in Vrindavan, and that is the tree known as Bandiravat, in the forest that lived in the forest known as Bandiravan. I will read the very short description of what Srila Jiva Goswami says about this tree. How can one describe the Bandiravat, his prema for Krishna? When Krishna disappeared from this world, the tree thought, let Govardhan and other dear objects remain visible, but I cannot remain visible in this universe. And the Bandiravat then disappeared. And see, says Sri Jiva, the deep prem, love for Krishna of Vrindavan itself. Vrindavan sometimes becomes stunned in the form of mountains, and sometimes trembles in the form of leaves quivering on the trees. And sometimes the hairs of Vrindavan stand on end in the form of its sprouting buds. This is Vrindavan. In that place of Vrindavan, there is a very special hill known as... Yes. It has a huge peak made of precious jewels, a great storehouse of peaks. It produces great pride and bliss in Krishna. Govardhan offers welcome in the form of cries of various birds. It is good that Satchinandan Raj invited them to come. Govardhan offers foot wash in the form of crooked waterfalls filled with different herbs and fragrances. Govardhan offers mouthwash, agya, in the form of rice, darba, and various sprouts pushed down by the hooves of wandering deer. It's all service. All service. Govardhan offers madhuparka in the form of fresh milk from cows which have just given birth, along with yogurt and ghee, and with honey taken from the trees. Govardhan offers bathing water in the form of water from its peaks falling in heavy streams, imitating pleasing bathing service. Govardhan offers cloth in the form of special bark from golden trees that is similar to cloth, and it is pleasant when it contacts the body. Govardhan offers excellent cosmetics in the form of sandalwood, garika, haritali, ground to fine powder by 100 stones, as well as natural perfume with excellent scent. Govardhan offers the most pleasing flowers in the form of blossoming garlands of jasmine flowers. Govardhan offers incense, surpassing all other types of incense, in the form of smoke from cloves, agaru, devadaru wood, and broken into fine powder by the hooves of cows. Govardhan offers lamps which reveal all treasures through their light from a host of gems which shine brightly even in the daylight. Govardhan offers splendid ornaments in the form of objects made from beautiful gunja berries, peacock feathers and clusters of flowers. And the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, they collect all these ingredients that Govardhan offers and offer them to the for the pleasure of Krishna, to decorate Krishna. And Krishna is called Natabara. He loves the decorations that Govardhan in the forest of Vrindavan provides. When Krishna leaves from home in the morning, Ma Bhagwati, could you put the sound up a little bit? My voice is leaving me quickly. When Mother Yashoda dresses Krishna, she places valuable jewels around his neck, armlets here and there, and ankle bells, and different garlands. But Krishna enjoys the paintings done on his beautiful face from the minerals gathered at Giriraj, and flower garlands from the forest of Vrindavan. Because Govardhan in the forest of Vrindavan has a special mood in making these offerings. And Krishna tastes the sweetness of the mood of their offerings. Govardhan offers Achman again in the form of cool water steeped with flowers, and offers mouth fresheners in the form of pure, incomparable, fragrant tulsi leaves. Govardhan offers arti by lamps made of the wealth of blossoming champak flowers as they move in the breeze. So this is the arti that Govardhan is offering Krishna. The champaka flowers, frangipani as we know them by. Govardhan offers a most splendid umbrella in the form of groups of branches of bakul covered with thick bud clusters, very, very sweet. Govardhan offers a fan giving joy to the devotees in the form of a huge shala tree whose branches quiver in the breeze. Govardhan offers dancing filled with the various cries of the peacocks who know the art of crying out loud. Does anyone know how to peacock cry? Any more? Any parrots? Any coil birds? Cuckoo birds? Cows? Okay. And the yes, and the flowing of the waters. Govardhan offers songs for sleeping in the form of an assembly of soft cooing of the cuckoos. Offering items in this way. Oh, one more. Govardhan offers a most excellent bed in the form of strewn flowers, accompanied by many women attracted by the sounds of the wild bamboos, that they think the bamboos are rustling in the wind and they mistake them for the sound of Krishna's flute. So offering items in this way, not dull matter producing, no, Giriraj, Govardhan, with great love for Krishna, with great devotion, not pushing himself in the front as we were talking about, but offering everything, supporting all the different rasas. Offering items in this way, Govardhan shows that he is the best of the Lord's servants, even amongst all the previously perfected devotees. So Upananda has suggested that the residents of Vrindavan pick up their homes, put them on bullock carts, and immediately leave from Gokul to Vrindavan. There is no need to wait any further. Which way did it go? Oh, okay. Upon hearing this advice from Upananda, the cowherd men unanimously agreed. Very nice, they said. Very nice. Sadhu, sadhu, iti vandina means that they all spoke out those words. Yes, yes, very good, very nice. Immediately, they were so enthusiastic to go to Vrindavan. Thus, they sorted out their household affairs. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, when he was told in a dream by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you go to Vrindavan. You go to Vrindavan, and there you will achieve all things. At that very moment, he left for Vrindavan. He didn't even sort out his household affairs. Immediately, there is another pastime of that's contemporary. Oh, it happened actually just about that time, maybe a little bit before, that there is one great devotee whose samadhi is in Vrindavan, who is a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta. Somehow his name escapes me at this moment. But he had read Srila Jiva Goswami's Satsandarbhas. He was in South India. And he was a scholar. And he had read Jiva Goswami's exposition of the entire Vaishnava Siddhanta, the whole philosophy in his Satsandarbhas. And he immediately was so attracted, he wrote Srila Jiva Goswami a letter. And he said, I have read everything. I'm so astounded by the conclusions and your scholarship. I want to immediately come to Vrindavan and learn from you and serve you. So after some time, because in those days letters were delivered by people carrying them, not by other means, such as names we won't even say in this august assembly. But after some time, months perhaps, one day he had woken in the morning and he was at the village well in South India brushing his teeth. And a messenger came from Vrindavan carrying a message from Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami. And that message said, yes, come immediately. And does anyone remember that exalted soul's name? Because it's escaped me. Gadadhar Bhatta, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Gadadhar Pandit was brushing his teeth. Gadadhar Bhatta was brushing his teeth. And without, perhaps he rinsed his mouth, but that was it. He left immediately from Vrindavan. You can see his samadhi in his wonderful place, which has the chappals, the wooden shoes of Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami there. They have those on the altar, or near the altar. So immediately, they sorted out their household affairs, they placed their clothing and other paraphernalia on the carts, and immediately started for Vrindavan. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had that same mood. He would preach to someone. He would preach, and while he was preaching, he would say, if you understand this point of the urgency of Krishna consciousness and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, you should immediately come. And even if you hear that your house is on fire, don't go back to put out the fire. Very, such very strong vision, very strong instructions coming from that strong vision recently in Vrindavan, there was a launching of the book of Yamuna Devi, and at that book launch, one of the devotees reading from the introduction by Dinatarani Devi, saying that Yamuna's mood was when she met Prabhupada. Prabhupada's view was so different from the way anyone else was viewing things. His view was expressed this extreme urgency, immediacy of Krishna consciousness, that the whole world had no value, only Krishna consciousness had value. So, as Dinatarani said, at that point, and she heard this from Yamuna, that she decided to become his disciple and make the attempt to see the world from his point of view, from his point of vision, see the world as he saw the world. That there is nothing actually of value here. It has the taste of ashes. It is temporary, it is fleeting, etc., etc. Its only use is in Krishna's service. But what has lasting true value is the jewel of Krishna consciousness. Take it now. So, sadhu, sadhu, they said, very good idea. Let us go to Vrindavan. Thus they sorted out their household affairs. They placed their clothing and other paraphernalia on the carts and immediately started for Vrindavan. Keeping all the old men, the women, the children, and household paraphernalia on the bullock carts, and keeping all the cows in front. The cowherd men, they picked up their bows and arrows to protect Krishna and all the other valuable jewel-like residents of Vrindavan, and with great care, they sounded bugles made of horns. Any bugle horn sounders here? Can we do that one? We have cows, we have peacocks, we have coquille birds. Okay. They sounded bugles made of horns. And they mounted the carts with all the paraphernalia. And I would like to speak a little about their journey to Vrindavan. Let me just make sure I have the right placement over here. O King Pariket, in this way, with bugles vibrating all around, the cowherd men, accompanied by their priests, they began their journey. This is the 32nd verse, 31st and 32nd verse. Now, Srila Jiva Goswami in Srila Sri Gopal Champu and Sri Kavi Kanapur and Ananda Vrindavan Champu, they add some wonderful details to this journey to Vrindavan. So these, please try to see them in your mind's eye. First of all, these carts were not the bullock carts that we would see today, nor are they like Toyotas or Suzukis or even Marutis. They were colorful. They were decorated with canopies and flags, festoons, different, completely coverable. They were green festoons and flags and brick red, yellow, white, red, pale yellow, and the domes were made out of gold. And there were so many cows. The cows with their calves went first. And there were so many cows that the cows reached Vrindavan. And still, there were more cows coming from Gokul. So it appeared, because the cows of Vrindavan, these were whitish in color, it appeared that there was a continuous stream like the Ganga going from or Yamuna going from Gokul to Vrindavan. And it appeared also like the carts weren't moving because there were so many of them. Then also the wheels of the carts and the soft dust of Vrindavan, it made furrows, deep, deep grooves into the earth, into the dust that rose up high into the sky. And there was so much sound going on between the cows all mooing and the horns blowing and other musical instruments and the Brahmins reciting prayers and the utensils on the carts clashing together that no one could even hear each other speaking. And the only way they could make themselves understood was by hand gestures. Stop, do this, just by the movement of their hands. And at that time, while all this was going on, Mother Rohini and Yashoda were like valuable jewels. And they boarded a cart that was the most decorated cart. And on that cart were Krishna and Balaram, who were the embodiments of benedictions for the entire world. And Krishna and Balaram were on their laps. And when they left Gokul, they took everything with them, and all that was left was the land. On that cart with Rohini and Yashoda Maya and Balaram and Krishna, Krishna was sitting on the lap of Balaram for some of the time, and sometimes on the lap of Mother Yashoda, and sometimes on Rohini Devi. And Krishna asked, "Where are we going?" in a very, very sweet voice. And Mother Yashoda replied, "We are going to the forest of Vrindavan." And Krishna said, "For how long will we go? When will we return home? When will we return to our own house?" And Mother Yashoda replied, "We are taking our house with us." And Krishna said, "How is it possible to take a house with you?" And Balaram immediately replied, "These carts are like our houses. Just see, beneath, all our cooking things are packed, all the bedding is packed, everything is packed in the house. So we're taking our house with us." Krishna thought for a while and looked out. And he said, "Houses moving? Well, it's possible because I see in the distance, even though the trees very near are left behind, but the trees in the distance seem to be coming with us. So, if the trees can come with us, the house can come with us." Mother Yashoda said, "Oh, Lala, those trees are not actually moving." And Krishna thought and said, "Okay. But where is Vrindavan?" Rohini answered, "It's across the Yamuna, because Gokul was on the Yamuna. And they didn't cross the Yamuna at this point." So when Rohini Devi said, "It's on the other side of the Yamuna," Krishna said, "But we left the Yamuna, because the Yamuna goes like this at this point," and they were traveling from one point to the other point around this part. But Krishna said, "Because he's just Lala, he's just a little boy, we just left the Yamuna. Are there two Yamunas?" Then he thought, Yashoda said, "No, there's only one Yamuna." And he thought, "Again, the trees are moving with us and coming with us, and our house is coming with us. So the Yamuna must also be coming with us too." And then he asked, "Why are we leaving our home? Mahavan, Brihatvan.
What is so wonderful in Vrindavan that causes us to undergo this great endeavor? And Rohini said to him, there are so many places to play in Vrindavan, then there's new things to play with. And then Krishna became excited and jumped on Balaram's lap, and he was joyful, laughing, playing, and they began rolling around on the cart. And then Krishna began to concentrate on the new place that he was going to, and he saw so many new things that he hadn't seen before. What of those trees that their leaves quiver? Thousands of leaves are quivering and making that sound. And it is, if you've, and Mother Yashoda said, oh, that is a peepal tree. The trees that their leaves are shaped like this. And it indeed, it is such a wonderful experience when the peepal leaves all rustle in the breeze. It sounds more or less like the feathers of a peacock dancing. And Krishna said, oh, it is a peepal tree. And what are those other trees over there? What is that tree with the long beard? Oh, that is a banyan tree. And what is that tree with millions of buds on it? Oh, that is an umbara tree. And what is that kind of colored bird dancing over there? That is a peacock. And what is that bird making a cooing sound that doesn't sound quite like a peacock, but oh, that is koyal, cuckoo bird. And what are those birds who sound like they're gossiping just like humans? Those are parrots. And what is that black thing that is flying from flower to flower in a different way than birds fly? Oh, those are called bees. And what are those animals jumping gracefully from place to place? Oh, those are deer. And what are those animals that look like something like a horse and something like a cow? Maybe they were Nilagai, I don't know. But they are Rohisha deer. And what are those animals, those deers that have branches of trees growing from their heads? Oh, those are Sambara deer. And in this way, all the residents of Vrindavan were engaging in two kinds of Krishna Katha as they went to Vrindavan. And they were blissful and joyful as they did so. One Katha was speaking about Krishna, and the other Katha was speaking directly with Krishna. When the residents of Vrindavan arrived at the bank of the Yamuna, Nanda Maharaj decided that it was too late for everyone and all the animals to cross. So he decided that they would spend the night on the bank of the Yamuna. They unloaded everything that was necessary for the night. And practically speaking, they assembled an entire city with intersections going through all the directions, and people set up shops, and the panwallas were selling pan, and the vegetable wallas were selling their vegetables, and everyone set up their tents, and they decided to spend the night. They removed the yokes from the bullocks, and one bullock came to one area near the Yamuna and drank water, then other bullocks and the cows all came, and first it was like it appeared as if there was a small lake of cows, but then all the cows came together and it appeared as if it was an ocean, a white ocean of cows. night began to fall, and the shadows of the cows and the shadows of the men were the same size. But as the moon rose, the shadows of the cow appeared very short and fattish, and the shadows of the men that were taller became longer and longer and longer. When the cowherd men began to milk the cows, Krishna heard that sound. He loved that sound. And after the cows were milked, then the cowherd men went around to the cows and then petted them and stroked them and called their names. Oh, Shavali! Oh, Davali! They fondled and caressed the cows. And then Upananda and some of the other leaders went into the quarters of Nanda Maharaj to speak about the day's plans, the next day's plans. And gradually, everyone went to sleep. The next morning, the gopis awoke first and began chanting the glories of Krishna. They awoke 3 hours before the sun was to rise. They swept the area, they did their duties, and all the time continuously they were thinking and speaking about Krishna. And then, after everyone had eaten properly, but while the sun was not too high in the sky, Nanda Maharaj gathered first all the cows by the bank of the Jamuna. And then he made some sounds. Hee hee hee! I can't make proper cowherding sounds, unfortunately. Are there any proper cowherders here who grew up in villages? Because cowherd boys make these wonderful sounds, and by their sounds they can completely, I've heard it, but I can't do it. They make sounds, and the cows will go into the water. They'll come out of the water. They'll turn left. They'll turn right. They'll stop. They'll start moving. So Nanda Maharaj made sounds. Hee, hee, hee. And first, the cows, the older cows, went into the Yamuna. And the current was very, very swift. And they had to struggle to cross with their tails wet and in the water. And behind them was the calves who were older but didn't yet have horns, and their bodies were lighter, and they swam across very, very quickly. And behind them were the cowherd men carrying the very young calves like this on their shoulders. And you can see this in Vrindavan today. Their left hands, they would hold the very, very soft legs of the calves, the young calves, and with their right arms they swam across. And the cows, their mothers, were calling out always in anxiety for their calves. And the last of the cows to cross were the bulls, who were very strong and powerful. And by their strong swimming, they created their own waves as they crossed. And they were there strong with their strength. It appeared that they were angrily fighting the waves as they went across. And they crossed very quickly. And then, there are different descriptions of how the cowherd men and all the carts and the ladies went across. One description is that they constructed a bridge of different reeds that were available, and on that bridge the bullock carts crossed. Another description by Srila Jiva Goswami, or by Kavi Kanapur, he describes how there were boats going up and down the Yamuna, and all the people, all the Vrijbasis got on the boats and they went across, and then the boats went back and picked up all the carts and brought the carts across. So on that, on one special golden boat, Mother Rohini, Mother Yashoda, Krishna and Balaram boarded a boat. And then Krishna started leaning out the boat, and he wanted to touch, put his hand in the water and touch the bottom of the boat. And Mother Yashoda was in complete anxiety. And then Nanda Maharaj came from one boat into that boat, and he took his lala and placed him on his lap. Then the bullock carts came, and immediately they picked up Krishna and Balaram, and they put him on a bullock cart. Put them on a bullock cart. After they went for a little while, Krishna knew he was in the Vrindavan forest. His ecstasy arose. And wearing no shoes, because he was a little boy, he jumped from the cart, and his lotus feet touched the dust of Vrindavan for the first time. Immediately, the forest began to blossom in ecstasy. And Krishna and Balaram immediately, with short and long calls, they began to call all their friends. Oh, Subal! Oh, Sridham! Oh, Sudham! Oh, Stoka Krishna! Oh! Oh, Batu! Oh, Marumangal! Oh! Arjun Saka, oh, Ujala. He began to call his friends, and together they walked through the forest, looking at this and looking at that. And the forest, it said, Srila Jiva Goswami says, the forest blossomed in ecstasy. And its singing was the cooing of the coil birds. And its dancing was the breezes of Vrindavan moving the creepers back and forth. And its horripilation, its goosebumps, its standing of hairs on ecstasy, immediately the trees of Vrindavan and everything began to blossom. And in this way, Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest for the first time. Why don't we face our Giriraj Govardhan right now and chant the names of Krishna in this Vrindavan forest. Of mercy, because one drop of your mercy is sufficient to drown the whole world.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare.
Everyone chant.
Krishna, Krishna,
call out to
Hare,
Krishna.
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Rama, Rama,
everyone chant.
Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everyone chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Everyone, put your hands in the air and chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare
loudly.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Oh Giriraj.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Giri Govardhan, Jai Ho, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jai Ho, Giri Govardhan. Giddy over down, giddy over down, giddy over down. Jay, jay, giddy over down, giddy over down, giddy over down, giddy over down. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada.
Giriraj Maharaj ki, Bala Giriraj Govardhan ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Krishna,
yes.
Vrindavanam Sampravishya, everyone. Savakala Sukavaham Tatra Chakro Vajavasam Sakatar Adachandravat Vrindavan. Nam Sampravishya. In this way, they entered Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of half a moon. Please note this verse. Vrindavanam Govardhanam Vrindavanam Govardhanam Yamuna Pulinani Cha Vriksha Shirutama Priti Rama Madhavayo Nripa Vrindavanam Govardhanam Yamuna Pulanani Cha Vikshashirutama Priti Rama Madhavayo Nripa. O King Parikit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed uttama priti, great pleasure, the greatest pleasure. Please listen carefully and we shall hear some of the glories of the Vrindavan that they saw. Srila Jiva Goswami says, how can the supreme place called Golok be compared to ordinary objects? The devatas call it an ocean of nectar. The poets call it fame personified. The Vishwakarma deities call it an amazing construction. The jnanis call it Brahman, containing all types of bliss. And the devotees of the Lord call it the personification of prema. Srila Rupa Goswami says that Vrindavan is none different from Srimati Radharani. In this way, Goloka is viewed in many ways by many people. What is the power of Vrindavan? How amazing! What skill in dancing it has! What place is this? Has the prema described by Shukadev taken a body? In this way, the protectors of the directions in Golok conjecture about Vrindavan. Every day they are bewildered and agitated by this place called Vrindavan. Listen to this. Although Golok is beyond the intelligence, by force it enters the intelligence I truthfully say that I do not hanker after objects which give pleasure, nor do I reject them, disdain them. But I have developed a desire to see the eternal planet of Krishna, because it produces affection for Krishna, and because this place, Vrindavan, Krishna has affection for. It is most desirable to hear the name of Golok in all the unlimited universes and in all the Vaikuntha planets. On hearing of it, even Lakshmi desires it. In Goloka, Krishna resides with his prominent friends, and my heart has become overflooded by their sweetness and has become attracted to them at every moment. Oh, says Jiva Goswami, what shall I now do? I have begun this description of Vrindavan with great haste, but I do not know how to continue. First of all, there is seen in Vrindavan absorption in Krishna's beauty and absorption in his pastimes. First, Krishna calls the cows from the sheds for taking them to the pasture. Then he plays with his friends. The cows wander away and Krishna goes searching for them. And then he goes far away to fetch them. He tells his friends to go and bring the cows. Then he plays again with his friends. And remembering these pastimes, I become excited. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram hold hands, they laugh and make others laugh, and this agitates my heart. The sound of the flute may make the trees blossom, and at times it may turn a mountain into liquid. The sound of Krishna's flute may make the water stop flowing or make the rivers flow to the west instead of to the east. But why does the sound of the flute suddenly come so close with such power, entering the ear and agitate the devotees meditating on Krishna? One cannot say whether it causes happiness or misery in their minds. When Krishna wanders about for his pastimes in various places, although the trees blossom in bliss, there is no question and no speaker there. There is nothing to ask and nothing to explain. But it attracts the minds of the devotees. While herding the cows, the boys with tears in their eyes sing songs with sweet melodies, and remembering the past events from Krishna's birth, they immediately begin to faint. How can the mind be controlled since these cowsheds make my mind desirous of seeing them? The trees, like the abodes of the cowherds, are surrounded by powdered cow dung that is fragrant and shining like excellent musk. The cowsheds give rise to hundreds of memories through those trees, though the young calves present there during the day, and through the cows which surpass Sarabi cows present there at night. Both in the dawn and at the dusk, memories of Krishna's pastimes arise. I hear these sounds. Let the calves free! Milk the cows! Collect the milk buckets! Gather the cows! Go to the house! Put Krishna in front! Sing the pastimes of Krishna! Shed tears while your hairs stand on end!
the blissful daily actions of the cowherd community. They overcome my heart. The roads strongly attract my heart like the yards filled with kirtan. As the people freely converse while coming and going on the roads, one can hear them constantly call out, "O Rama!" One can hear them constantly loudly call out, "O Rama! O Krishna!" On the roads, one can hear them constantly call out loudly and with feeling of great longing, "O Rama! O Krishna! O Rama! O Krishna! O Krishna! O Krishna! O Krishna! O Krishna!" When will we be able to chant the holy names of Krishna in these moods that Srila Jiva Goswami has described, and as are chanted by the residents of Vrindavan as they go about their pastimes and move from Gokul to Vrindavan? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maybe we can put on the lights for a moment. Notice how I said, maybe we can put on the lights, because one never knows. Thank you. Are there any questions? We have a few more minutes. There's 10 minutes. Are there any questions? Oh, of course. Hare Prasad Pu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Do we understand there to be any difference between Gokul and Vrindavan? Is there anything that you can illuminate for us that we should know to distinguish between the two, and why we move from Gokul to Vrindavan?
You mean why the cowherd men move, or is there any difference between Goloka manifest in the spiritual world and Goloka manifest in Vrindavan?
I think all of the above you can say something about, perhaps.
Because in the Vrindavan forest, it is special. Gokul is the place where Krishna loves to enjoy his infant pastimes and the beginning of his Komara Lila up to the age of 5, maybe 3 or 4 years old. But when it comes to, and we see this when we come to Giriraj, there is a specific flavor that Giriraj has. When you go to Barsana, there is another flavor. When you go to Ramanreti and Vrindavan town, there is another flavor, especially when there are no cars and horns honking, etc., etc., etc. When you're by the Yamuna, there is another flavor. So the specific offering of the Vrindavan forest is the flavors that are conducive to the more grown-up pastimes of Krishna, of his Kaishor Lila and Poganda Lila, but really his Kaishor Lila and his Lila and his meeting. Because we see how in the very beginning pastimes, there's Krishna loves his parents and the loving exchanges are with the parents, and then his love expands to the other elderly members of the community, and then his love as he begins to crawl on the ground and then walk on the ground, and then his love expands and it encompasses Sakyaras, from Vatsalyaras then to Sakyaras. And then when Krishna hits Poganda Lila, some of the excellences of his transcendental body in Kaishor Lila begin to manifest, and therefore Vrindavan is perfect for Madhurya Ras especially. So that's that reason. Vrindavan is that place that is under the guidance, protection, and administration of Vrindadevi, and therefore is called Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindadevi. And it is none different, specifically the Vrindavan forest is none different from Srimati Radharani, and this is acknowledged by Krishna himself. The Vrindavan forest has a special sweetness to it, that is the sweetness of Srimati Radharani. And the other question about Boma Vrindavan and the spiritual world Vrindavan, the Boma Vrindavan, of course, is the spiritual world, but I've recently read how perhaps Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was saying that there's even more sweetness in Boma Vrindavan. And he gives an example. When you take diamonds and place them on a silver plate, they are not exhibited in the best way. But when you take diamonds and place them on a sapphire plate, a plate that is made out of dark blue sapphire, then the excellence of the diamonds becomes so apparent and most appealing. So similarly, Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, in we'll say Goloka Vrindavan, they are so wonderful, but everything there is so wonderful. And that, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares to exhibiting the diamonds on a silver plate. But when Vrindavan's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan, are exhibited in Bomya Vrindavan, seemingly the material world, they are perfectly organized to exhibit them in such a way that the most pleasure, they are most obvious, and the most pleasure is received from diving deeply into them. So that's how I would answer both those questions.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
I would just follow up with one quick question. Is there any difference in our approach as sadhakas or as pilgrims that we should know to Gokul or to Vrindavan?
So although we say that Vrindavan is the highest, and we say, according to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Madhurya Ras is the highest, Srila Prabhupada always presented things appropriate for our vision, that these are all so, they are all transcendental, they are all beyond this world, they all are different fragrances, they have their fragrances, they have their sweetness, and they all must be completely venerated and seen as the same in that sense. Like, it's like, and sometimes we can get in a falsely discriminating mood, and like an ant at the bottom of the Himalayan mountains, and there's one peak that's 7 feet higher, it's a mile tall, and it's 7 feet higher than another peak, and thinking that's the highest peak, and therefore, since I'm so qualified, I should be on that highest peak. So that shows something very transcendental. So yes, we should respect completely 100% and take the dust. Srila Sanatana Goswami has a bhajan kutir in Gokul. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has his bhajan kutir in Kamyavan, or a bhajan kutir in Kamyavan. And yeah, so advanced in the serving mood. So everything exalted devotees do is in service, and everything that I will do has its selfish content to it. And every conception I'll have will have a selfish concept. So we accept the concepts that are offered to us by Srila Prabhupada and offer our obeisances to them and adopt them. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Now it is 6 o'clock. So now now it is time for prasadam and a little bit of rest from so many hours of hearing.
and stretching one's legs and taking prasadam and doing everything else that's required to bring us back for the next exciting installment of the Kaliya pastime. What could possibly happen next in that pastime? I don't know if Krishna's going to even survive, or what to speak of the resonance of Vrindavan. So if you come on time, you will find out exactly what does happen. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All Vrijvasis ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.